Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Let me start by reading to you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And what we're going to want to do tonight is we're going to unpack what we are to discover as a result of these divine appointments. It became our responsibility and our challenge after the series in July to say, let's be more sensitive and aware that God is always at work around us. We just have to be paying attention. So here's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Underline those two words, wisdom and revelation. So Paul is asking and he's praying that the disciples, the people of God, would receive something from the Lord. And what he is saying is, I am praying for you that you would receive, God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So this is why we receive this. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So Paul was praying that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know God better. Now, wisdom, the definition is insight that is not naturally attained. That's wisdom. The wisdom that Paul was praying that people would receive, that we would receive today, would be something that is not naturally attained. So when we're talking about divine discoveries, we are talking about things that are not naturally attained. In other words, we're not going to go read them in a textbook. We're not going to find them on the back of a cereal box. They are something that is not naturally attained. Now, revelation is this: something veiled or hidden for a long time, then suddenly becomes clear and visible to the mind or the eye. So Paul was saying, I am praying that you would receive the spirit of wisdom so you would have insight that's not naturally attained, also that you would have revelation. You would have something that has once been veiled or hidden suddenly become clear or visible to our mind or our eye. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about divine discoveries. We go through seasons of life where we say, why God? We go through seasons of life and we're wrestling and we're asking God questions and we're saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand this and this. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? And we go through that and it's challenging. And Paul's prayer was that we would receive this spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know him better. So in other words, part of this, the divine nature of God would be that we would discover things about God. We would discover things about his character and his nature. Now, I want to start tonight by asking you a question. And this question is personal and it's for you. You don't have to prove it to anyone else but yourself. But here's the question. Do you trust God now with your now and with your future? Excuse me. Do you trust God with your now and your future? That's a legitimate question. As you're thinking about life and as you're thinking about the pressures and the things that you're going through and the things that you're facing, are you trusting God with your now and are you trusting God with your future? Because the things that God wants you to discover about him, you can't compartmentalize and I can't compartmentalize and I can't put them in a box. So I've got to be able to answer the question about the trust factor. Because revelation, by definition, is something veiled or hidden for a long time. In other words, there have been things that have been veiled or hidden in your life, maybe prayers that you've prayed, God, answer, God, help me. And for whatever reason, the sovereignty of God, that thing has been veiled. And so the trust factor has to be there. We have to be able to trust God with our now. Trust him with your circumstances. Trust him with your situations. And not only now, but trust him with your future. Now, Psalm 62, verse 7 and 8 says this: my protection and success come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust him all the time. Trust him all the time. Do inventory of today. Do inventory of this week. Was your trust in him, or was your focus on the circumstances or the situations? Because the psalmist is saying, oh, my people, trust him all the time. Pour out your longings before him, for he can help. He can help. We're going to discover some things tonight about God's character, divine discoveries, but none of that will help you. None of that will help me if I don't trust in the God who holds my future. And really, truly trust in him, not in an intellectual way, but truly trust him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I wrote this on my outline. It's not on yours, but I'd like to read it to you. And it's this statement. The measure of your devotion to God is not your devotional life, but simply your life. Think about that statement. The measure of your devotion to God is not your devotional life. In other words, it's not the devotional that I pick up, sparkling gems or whatever it is. It's not my devotional book that I pick up. The measure of my devotion to God is not my devotional life, but simply my life. In other words, my life is my devotion to God. The way that I live my life is my devotion to God, which is my devotional 24/7. And in that, I must trust God. In this economy and in the day and the hour we're living, we already know the scripture tells us that the world is headed in a certain direction. And we know what the end of that direction is going to be. And we know that in the last day, there's going to be perilous times and there's going to be difficult times, but not for God's people who are trusting in God. We are not going to escape difficult times, but if my trust is in God, then no matter what happens, I am okay. Isn't that right? And so I got to live like I believe that. So here's the second question, and then we're going to dive right in. Second question is this. In what areas is it difficult for you to trust God? In what areas is it difficult for you to trust God? And I've got three that I'm going to give you in just a moment. And then the second part of that question is, what will you do to change that? Because we have to get to the place where we settle this issue of trust in God. That I trust God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I do not trust what I see in the natural. I trust God. So in what areas is it difficult for you to trust God? And I came up with three, maybe. The first one is it difficult to trust God with your future? Is it difficult to trust God with your future? If it is, the best thing you can do is give him your future. God, I'm having difficulty with my future. I'm having difficulty wondering if my 401k is going to be there or this or whatever it is. So what's the best thing that I can do? Trust God with my future. Give him my future. I can't figure it out, but I've got to give it to God. What about your finances? In what areas is it difficult for you to trust God? Is it difficult for you to trust God in the area of your finances? See, in the natural and in the world that we're living in the economy we're living in today, the economy would say, be tight-fisted. Hold on to what you got, because if you don't hold on to what you got, you're going to lose what you have. And that's what the world would say. But are you trusting God with your finances? Am I trusting God with my finances? And then the next one, am I trusting God with my relationships? Are you trusting God in the area of your relationships? Because in order for us to move into divine discoveries, we've got to really wrestle this trust thing out. If you've had a model in your life that was not trustworthy, then you have to challenge yourself to trust a God that you can't put your hands around, that's not visible and that's not tangible. He's alive and he's real and he makes himself known in his word, but it's got to be active trust. It's got to be something that we are doing daily. Now, I'm going to ask you, I said I wasn't going to ask you another question, but I am going to ask you one more question before I get to point number two. I accept myself as God's gift to me and others. Can you say that? I'm asking you that question. Can you say to yourself, I accept myself as God's gift to myself? Now, I'm not being weird here. I'm not talking about some kind of weird theology. The reality of it is, we need to accept ourselves as a gift. And that gift has to first be received by me, and then it has to be received by others. Can I accept myself as a gift, or do I look at myself as a project? Really? I am a gift. God created me. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Jesus died for me. Now, we have to get to the place in our lives where we can accept ourselves as a gift. Because if we can accept ourselves as a gift and we can really live in that, then we can freely give ourselves to other people. When we cannot accept the gift that we are, and I'm not talking psychobabble, I'm not talking weird theology, I'm not talking humanism, I'm talking Jesus Christ died for me, so I am precious. Jesus Christ died for you, so you are precious. Say amen. Amen. So we've got to get to the place where we accept ourselves as a gift. Now, having said that, I want to start by looking at number two, and here's where we're going to start unpacking divine discoveries. From moving from divine appointments to divine discoveries, I discover that there is dignity in dependence. I want you to write that down. I discover that there is dignity in dependence. Now, let me explain that a little bit to you. Dignity in dependence, what does that mean? Our world today looks down on dependence. When people in society become dependent on someone else, that is looked down on by many, many people. In other words, we are not a society, we are not a people that embrace dependence. When matter of fact, as we get older, we don't embrace it. When people start getting older, they don't embrace the dignity of being dependent on other people. They say things like, I don't want you to take care of me. Don't you dare take care of me. Don't you dare. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Now, here's our model for ministry in life. Jesus Christ is our model for ministry. What did he come to planet Earth doing? He came to planet Earth being completely dependent upon humanity. He saw dignity in dependence. Do you? Do you see a dignity in dependence? Do you see that there's a dignity in depending upon the Lord for everything? Do you see dignity in that, or do you see that as weakness? When Jesus came, somebody had to change his diapers. He didn't change his own diapers. When Jesus came, he had to be taught manners. When Jesus came, he got taught life in a family. He got taught all those things. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And what did he do? He embraced dependence. He came dependent. He didn't come as a 30-year-old man. He came as a baby in a manger, and he had to be raised by parents. He had to be protected from the elements. He had to be protected from humanity. He had to be protected from animals. He had to be protected. He had to be taken care of. And there was dignity in that. Do you see that? Do you see the significance or the importance of that? Because, see, we live in a society today that frowns on that. I don't want to be dependent on anybody. I want to be independent all of my life. That's what society says. Don't put me in a home. Now, and I'm not trying to rattle cages here, and I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings, but we do not as a society embrace dependence. We see it as weakness. Jesus never saw it as weakness. And as God's people, we need to embrace dependence. There's dignity in dependence. There's dignity in depending on the Lord. And Jesus modeled that. He came and he modeled that. So what do I need to do? I need to see the dignity in being able to depend on God. I cannot figure out life in my own strength. I cannot be the husband that God wants me to be. I cannot be the father that God wants me to be. I cannot be the pastor that God wants me to be. And I cannot be the friend that God wants me to be if I am not dependent on the Lord. I cannot do it in my own strength. And I am going to get stronger as I get older. I am determined to get stronger because I'm going to get closer to the Lord. I'm going to know his word more. I'm going to become hungrier for him and the things of God. And I am not going to get weaker. I'm going to get stronger. Are you with me? Now, it's not going to happen if I'm not dependent upon the Lord. So, here's what I'm asking as we dive in. Many of you say, that's me. You don't even know what it is. Many of you say, that's me. Are in need tonight, and I'm one of those, of some divine downloads. Do you know that there's some 350 downloads that you can get on these new fancy phones, your iPhones and your droids and all of that? There's some 350,000, maybe there's even more downloads, and lots of them are free. And so tonight I'm going to ask that we would receive the divine downloads that God has for us, that we would receive what it is that God wants to download in the inside of our hearts, that we can walk out of here having received what he has for us tonight as fresh manna from heaven. And I'm going to do it based on, I am seeing dignity and dependence on you, Lord. I am not strong enough, I am not wise enough to walk through life without you. So, God, give me the divine downloads. Are you with me? God, give me those divine downloads so that I can make it. Now, here's what James chapter 4, verse 10 says in the New Living Translation. When you bow down before the Lord your God and admit your dependence, underline the word dependence. When you bow down before the Lord and you admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. So, God, I am admitting my dependence upon you. That's a great place to start. God, I'm admitting my dependence on you. Now, so in order then to receive divine discoveries from God, those divine downloads, those divine discoveries, those things that are just for you, they're custom made for your life, they're custom made for your situation, they're custom made for the demands and the pressures that are on your life. If Apple has 350,000, I'm pretty sure God has a few more than that. Don't you think? I'm pretty sure God has a specific download that is needed for you or for me today, and I don't even have to pay for it because Jesus already paid for it. Now, number three is this. One of those divine downloads may be this, and it may be a divine discovery for you. I'm talking about divine discoveries. I cannot be a follower of Jesus and be a people pleaser. I cannot be a follower of Jesus and be a people pleaser. You cannot do that. Jesus, who was love embodied, came to earth to do the will of the Father, and he loved humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but Jesus was not a people pleaser. He confronted issues, he confronted sin, he challenged people. That was biblical and that was godly. Now, maybe a divine discovery for us tonight, and maybe a divine download for us tonight, is that if I'm going to be all that God wants me to be, I cannot be a people pleaser. Now, that doesn't mean I run over people. That doesn't mean I train wreck people's lives. But I have to live my life in such a way that I'm glorifying God and that my allegiance is to God. Now, I can do that in love. Jesus did it in love, so I can do it in love. But maybe one of the reasons that you're struggling, maybe one of the reasons that you're battling today is because you're trying to please people. You're trying to please man. And if we spend our lives trying to please man, what did God say? You cannot serve both God and man. We can't do it. We can't serve both God and man. We have to make a choice. And so if you've been bound up by being a people pleaser, ask God for that divine download, that divine discovery, that you don't have to live your life that way. You can live your life in a way that will honor God. People are tethered to the past relationally. People are tethered to other people. People are tethered and bound up because they're people pleasers. Listen, I have a PhD in that. I'm telling you, I have battled that for years of my life, years of my life. My wife knows that. Now, I want the right, healthy outlook of that. I want to love God. I want to serve people. But I do not want to live my life as a people pleaser. I want to live my life as a God pleaser. If I'm a God pleaser, then I will serve my generation well. Are you with me? So, I cannot be a follower of Jesus and be a people pleaser. Proverbs 29:25 says this, "It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord," there's that trust thing again, "you are safe." So it's dangerous, says the scriptures, to be concerned about what other people think about you. But if you trust in the Lord, you're going to be safe. So back to that trust thing. We need to trust God. That's the issue we have to settle first if we're going to walk in the revelation of these divine discoveries. Because I think it's true that as we walk with God, the longer we walk with God, God will bring these discoveries when we need them. In other words, they'll come as a divine download. They'll come into my life when I need them. Now, the next one is this. The next divine download or the next divine discovery. I cannot expect a complete and detailed plan from God for my life. I cannot expect a complete and detailed plan from God for my life. How many of you figured that out? We walk with God and we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, God, 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 what about this? What about this? What about this? How many of those prayers have not been answered the way you wanted them to be answered. You could not count them on two hands. Isn't that true? I mean, how many times have we prayed and we've sought the Lord and we've said, "Yeah, listen, we need this needs to be a divine discovery. I cannot expect a detailed plan from God about my life. He is not going to give it to me. The promises of God belong to me, but the ways of God do not. Isaiah says his ways are higher than mine and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So I can stand on every promise that's given to me in the scripture, but the ways of God, I have to leave to God." So maybe it's a divine discovery that the frustration or the disappointment or the discouragement or the challenges that you've been facing, or maybe the thing that's kept you kind of paralyzed or from being able to go forward, is that you're expecting God to give you this complete and detailed plan of your life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If I trust God, then I can trust God. I don't have to trust in the detail of the plan. It's different. It's different to trust God than it is to trust in the detail of the plan. But I can't just get it here. It has to come from here down to here so that I'm walking it out. Listen to what the book of Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It's in the Living Bible. "I will climb my watchtower now and wait to see what answer God will give to my complaint. And the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell others. But these things I plan won't happen right away.'" That's a bummer. Is that not a bummer? "But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely." I love the word surely. "The time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day." Wow. We need to get a hold of that scripture, because I can't expect a detailed or a completed plan from God for my life. And according to the book of Habakkuk, and I mentioned this when we were doing the panel 2 weeks ago, the book of Habakkuk is an amazing short book allowed by God to go into the Bible. It's not a prophecy against a nation. It's not a prophecy against the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah. It isn't any of that. What it is it's the complaint of Habakkuk. And God let it be in the Bible. In other words, God let a little tiny book in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, write a book about his complaining to God. "God, I'm not happy with the way you're dealing with your people. God, I'm not happy with the way you're dealing with me. God, I'm not happy about what I'm seeing in life." And yet God put it in the scriptures. So it isn't that God doesn't know that we will struggle. But the reality of it is we have to wait. And we have to wait. The truth is, I'm not going to get a detailed plan. And maybe that's a divine discovery for you. Maybe that's a revelation for you. Maybe you've already known it here, but now you have to get it down into your heart. I have to get it down into my heart, and I have to say, "God, I've prayed, and I've sought you, and I believe you've given me promises, and I've been standing on your promises for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years, but I'm going to come back to the place where I go back to trust. My trust is in you, Lord. My trust is not in the circumstance. My trust is in you." This is on my outline and not on yours. I wrote it down just a little while ago. Don't confuse what you believe with what you are experiencing. Think about that. Don't confuse what you believe with what you are experiencing. Because what I believe is that I trust God. What I believe is what the Word says. And the Word says, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches, it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair. It's going to come to pass. Just be patient. It won't be overdue a single day. Now, I believe that, but it might not be what I'm experiencing. I believe that's true for my life, but right now maybe I'm experiencing turmoil. Maybe I'm experiencing pressure relationally or in my finances or wherever it is. And so I've got to come back to this. And again, I've got to wrestle this out. This divine discovery of I cannot expect a complete and detailed plan from God for my life. The next one is this. The next one is I cannot stay the same and expect to see progress. I cannot stay the same. In other words, I can't stay where I'm at spiritually. I can't stay the same and expect to see progress. That doesn't happen anywhere in the world. That doesn't happen in nature, and it doesn't happen in humanity, and it certainly doesn't happen spiritually. If I'm wanting to progress, if I'm wanting to grow, then I can't stay the same, which means what? I've got to put my focus on God, and I've got to put my focus in His Word, and I've got to anchor myself to the Word of God. I've got to anchor myself to the Word of God. And even in these days, as the days approach, how much more do we have to anchor ourselves in God? Do you know how grieving it is to see people walking away from the Lord? You know people that have walked away from the Lord. It grieves your heart. Why would they do that? The pressures and the demands of life. And that's why these divine discoveries are so important, because when we receive revelation from the Lord about the truth, about how He operates, and is that His ways are higher than mine, but that I can trust in Him because He's trustworthy, then no matter what I go through, no matter what the pressures are or the demands in my life, I am going to make it. And I'm not just going to limp into my inheritance. I'm not just going to limp into my future. I'm going to be strong and confident because God is with me. Are you stagnant? Do you feel stagnant? That's why we're talking about divine discovery. Are you the same as you were a week ago or 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago? And I'm asking myself these questions. I don't want to stay the same. I want to be growing. I want to be growing in my knowledge of God and growing in the Word. And if I'm not taking time for it, then that's my fault. And so if I'm stagnant, maybe it's because I've got to do something. I've got to do what the Word says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says this: let your roots grow down in Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He does. So, Colossians, Paul says, see that you keep on growing in the Lord. See that you continue to grow in the Lord. The way that that happens is that our roots go down. When our roots go down, we continue to grow in the Lord. You can mark this in nature. You can mark this in the life of a human, spiritually speaking. If you are rootless, you will be restless. If you are rootless, you are subject to the storms of life much more. You're much more subject to the storms of life if you don't have a good root system. If our roots are not going down deep, and that's why he is saying here, let your roots grow down in Him and draw up nourishment from Him. If we don't allow our roots to go down in the Lord, when the storms of life come, then we're tossed back and forth. Or if we don't let our roots go down where God has planted us, we become restless. That's sometimes why people move from here to there, because they've not put their roots down where God has called them to be, and because of that, they get restless. So I can't stay the same. That's a divine discovery. I cannot stay the same and expect to see progress. Do you believe that's true? So the question then would be, God, where do you want me to change? Where do you want me to grow? What is it that you're asking me to do? Because whatever it is, I'll do it because I trust you. It goes back to the dignity of dependence. If we don't value what God valued because society doesn't value it, we will suffer the consequences of it. Jesus said, "The world must know that I come to do exactly what my Father called me to do." Do you know that Jesus did not start his public ministry, miracles being performed, the manifestation of the supernatural, until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit? In other words, Jesus in his earthly life was dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Jesus himself was dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's why when he was baptized at the Jordan River, then he went out. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. Then he went out, signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations, because he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We today, we've got to be dependent upon God's Word, and we've got to be dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has got to activate my life in such a way that I can go out with confidence and do what God's called me to do, regardless of what I see in the natural. And if I'm not living that way, then maybe there's an area where my roots need to go down and I need to be nourished. I'm gonna plow through that bedrock and whatever it is, and I'm gonna let my roots go down, and I'm gonna stay firmly planted where God has called me so that I will not be shaken by the storms of life. Oh, we've got to settle these issues. We've got to settle them because we know in the last days it's gonna get more and more difficult. Next divine discovery. I cannot please God without taking steps of faith. I cannot please God without taking steps of faith. So if I am standing and I'm waiting for God to move, then according to the scriptures, that does not please God. So that needs to be a divine discovery that goes from our minds into our hearts and say, okay, God, then where do I need to step out in faith? What area are you calling me to step out in faith? Is it in the area of my relationships? Is it in the area of finances? Where is it, God? Where is the area that you're asking me to step out in faith? If we ask him, he'll show us. And then what? Well, then we fall back on this reality. The dignity of dependence. Lord, I'm dependent upon you. I don't care if the world thinks that's weakness. I don't care if the world says that's your crutch. If you want to call Jesus my crutch, then call Jesus my crutch. I don't care. I am dependent upon the Lord. And I cannot and will not be what God wants me to be unless I live that way. Does that make sense? So I cannot please God without taking steps of faith. The author of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. So where does God want you to step out in faith? Where is God saying, step out in faith? I'll meet you. I'm out there in the water. You step out of the boat, I'll meet you there. Wherever it is, if God is asking you to step out, he's going to meet you there. And that needs to be a divine discovery for us. And maybe it's a divine discovery because it's a reminder. Maybe we lived that way once. Maybe 6 months ago or 6 years ago, we were walking by faith and not by sight. But now all of a sudden, we've been bombarded physically, emotionally, spiritually. We've been battling illness or whatever it is, and we've taken some hits. We take hits in this world. And we've taken some hits, and now all of a sudden, we're kind of limping, and we're feeling like we're not as strong as we used to be. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there right now, and maybe God is saying, listen, if you just take the first step, I'll help you with the next one, and then I'll help you with the next one, and then I'll help you with the next one. Let me say this to you, and I wrote it down again on my outline this afternoon. Take some time to think about what the Lord wants to do before I come in here, and here's a statement that I wrote down about that statement. I cannot please God without taking steps of faith. Don't associate not knowing something with God's displeasure. Don't associate not knowing something with God's displeasure. In other words, oftentimes the reason we take a step of faith is because we don't have the answer. Because you don't have the answer, don't associate that with God's displeasure. In other words, God must be mad at me or God must be disappointed or I would know what I'm supposed to do. That's not true. According to the Word, that's not the walk of faith. That's not walking in faith. So what do? We don't associate not knowing the will of God with God's displeasure. That would be a seed the enemy would want to plant in your mind. Well, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, then you must be in sin. You must be out of the will of God. And we need a divine discovery. We need a divine download that says that's not true. I must take steps of faith. What are the steps of faith that God is asking you to take? What are the recent ones that God is asking you to take? That might be the most important question, because I think the older we get, I know this is true in my life, the older I get, the more set in my ways I become. The more I like my world to revolve the way I like my world to revolve, and if my world gets rocked a little bit, it messes with my mind. Am I the only one? I mean, we have our systems, and they're set up, and we work within those systems, and sometimes that dignity of dependence. I'm dependent upon you, Lord, and in the natural, this makes no sense, but I've sought you. And I believe it's a step of faith that you're wanting me to take. So, God, I'm going to do it because according to your word, I can't please you. It's impossible to please God without faith, the Bible says. Impossible. There's no way to please God without faith being mixed in there. So if faith is not mixed in there, then what happened to it? What happened to it? Did it get robbed from us? Did the disillusionment and the disappointment of life and the world that we're living in, did it rob us of it? If it did, we need a divine download. That's a divine download of a divine discovery that God wants to put back in our hearts. That I can walk by faith and I can trust God. Amen? Next one is this. I cannot expect to hear God's voice while running at an unsustainable pace. I cannot expect to hear God's voice while running at an unsustainable pace. Somewhere, somehow, in all of our lives, and wherever it is for you, we have to carve out time to slow down. We have to slow down so that we can hear God. Because we can't expect to hear from God if we're running at this unsustainable pace. If we're sprinting through life and we're going and we're harried all day long and it's boom, 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 boom. And then we fall in bed at night and then we fall asleep. We can't expect to hear God's voice if we're doing that. So in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of everything that's going on, I need to slow down and I need the divine discovery that says, I cannot go at this pace and hear from God. Be still and know that I am God. Somewhere I've got to slow down. Find your place to slow down. It might be in your car on the way to work. It might be in the morning. It might be in the evening. I don't know where it is, but find your time. Find your time. I'm up early every day. I wish I wasn't up early every day because I don't know that it's so good for my health. Because most of the time I'm probably up probably between 3 and 4:30, maybe 5, sometimes a little bit earlier than that. And I know that that's not healthy. I know that in the long run, that is not healthy for me. And part of the reason that, if I'm being honest with you, part of the reason that probably I'm up is because I'm worrying. I'm thinking about things. And I'm being honest with you, and I'm contemplating and wrestling and all of those things, and I can put all these spiritual words on it, but if I boil it all down to what it really is, it's probably a little bit of worry, probably a lot of worry. And I've got to come back to the place where I take the words of Jesus serious. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, Blake, do not worry. Blake, do not worry. He said that. It's not optional. Blake, do not worry. Blake, do not worry. And sometimes that unsustainable pace that we drive ourselves into, we're doing it because we're avoiding things. Sometimes we drive ourselves at an unsustainable pace because the truth is when we slow down, we're afraid what we might hear and what we might find out. Can we just be honest about that? Let's just be brutally honest about that. That's the truth. Sometimes we don't slow down because we're afraid if we slow down, we might hear something. What we might hear is going to be a divine download, and it's going to be a divine discovery, and it might be, like for me, worry. I mean, my wife's told me that for years. I'm not talking days. I'm not talking weeks. I'm not talking months. I'm talking I've battled this for a long time. I've battled this not sleeping for a long, long time. And I know in the long run it's not going to be healthy for me. And so I have to do something about an unsustainable pace. What are you doing about the unsustainable pace of life? The truth is, life is not going to slow down. It's only going to speed up. Life and the demands, internet, everything that we have today is so much faster than it was in our parents' generation. Our parents didn't have cell phones and iPhones and computer and internet and all. They didn't have any of that. And they did life and they survived. And we have all of that and it's still not enough. We have all of that and we're still stressed out. We have all of that and we still want more. Isn't that true? We want more. We want it right there. We want to be able to find out what email we missed and what phone call we missed. And listen, there's got to be a balance with that. There has to be a balance. And part of it's the unsustainable pace. Jesus, oftentimes in the Gospels, what? He went away to be with his Father. Disciples are looking around, where's Jesus? I don't know. Jesus knew exactly where he was. He had gone to meet with the Father. And I just want to encourage you, this needs to be a divine discovery. God wants that more than anything. Your devotional life, your devotion to God is not based on a devotional. It's simply your life. It's simply my life. God likes me. That's an amazing thing. He doesn't only love me, he likes me. We need a revelation of that. God likes you. He actually likes you, he likes me, and he wants to hang out with us. And we need to believe that because it's true. And if I'm going so fast and he's yelling, hey, Blake, can you slow down? I just want to talk to you a minute. Blake, can you just slow down? I got the answer for what you've asked me for, but you're 5 miles ahead. Am I talking to myself? We have to look at this unsustainable pace. And it has to be a divine download. It has to be a divine discovery. And it comes back to this. It all comes back to this. The dignity of dependence. Father, I'm dependent upon you. I need you, Lord. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what the world says. I am dependent upon you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says this. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Say thank you. Say thank you to the Word. Say thank you. Say it like you mean it.
Thank you.
Thank you. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The Word of God tells me that, so I need to thank God for that. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. If God needed a rest, so do we. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. He's talking about the children of Israel. God had set it up in such a way that there was going to be a rest, a Sabbath rest, and they were to enter into that rest, and God set the example. He said, in 6 days, I'm going to do everything, and I'm going to rest on the seventh day, and I'm going to model for you what I expect you to do in life, and I want you to rest. And God says, make every effort. In other words, God knows it's going to be work. God knows it's not easy. That's why he says, make every effort to enter into that rest. That rest is meant by God to be productive. When we enter into that rest, it's a place where we're revived and re-nourished and refed and refueled. Are you with me? Okay, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up because our time is concluding. Now on your outline, it says, discover or rediscover. And I'm going to give you four things here. Discover or rediscover. You'll have to ask God which one it is. You'll have to ask God to help you which it is. Are you going to discover this or rediscover? And the first one is passion. The first one is passion. Do you need to discover passion or rediscover passion? Passion is that thing that creates a spark. Passion is that thing that will spark something on the inside of us that says, I got to do this. This is what God has called me to do. No matter what I do in life, this is what I must do. That's passion. Do you need to discover that for the first time maybe, or do you need to rediscover that? Because God wants us to be passionate about our dependence upon him because he's got us here for a reason. Do you believe that? He's got us here for a reason. It's not just to occupy. It's here to make a difference. So do we need to discover or rediscover vision is the next one. Vision. Do we need to discover or rediscover vision? Vision becomes this anchor. Anchors us to the things of God. Do we need to discover or rediscover discipline. Discipline, spiritual discipline. Maybe that needs to be a divine discovery. And here's what I mean by that. When we discipline ourselves in the things of God, what it does is it allows us to say no to lesser things. Discipline is not meant by God to keep things from us. It's meant to help us to say no to lesser things. So maybe I need to discover or rediscover some discipline in my life. God, I want to be disciplined because I don't want to go at this unsustainable pace. I need to be disciplined. I don't want to stay the same. I need to know that you're at work and that I can trust the work that you're doing. And then maybe I need to discover or rediscover, it's time to risk again. It's time to risk again. It's time to take a risk. It's time to take a risk. What is the risk that God is asking you to take? What is God speaking to your heart? And in the natural, you're thinking, I can't make sense of it. You're not supposed to make sense of it. Divine discovery is that God's not going to give us a complete and a detailed plan for our lives. Risk would be this. Risk would be the safest place to give it all. That's what risk is. Risk is finding the safest place to give all of you. That's risk. I want to find the safest place to give all of me because where I give all of me, God can use. And I want God to be able to use me fully. And I want to be fully devoted to him. So my prayer tonight then has been that we would receive some divine discoveries from the Lord.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.